Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Uphill, upward habits. What a great way to get the year started. And today I want to piggyback on what Pastor Chris has introduced and started and talk about today, better habits for a better life. Pastor Chris talking about climbing that hill to a better life, but to get there it requires uphill habits. It requires better habits. If you want to have a better life, if you want to upgrade your life, improve your life, you're going to have to upgrade and improve your habits. How many of you want to upgrade and improve your life? Yeah, turn to somebody and say, I do. We all do. No matter where we're at, even when we get to the next plateau of where God wants us to go, he still wants to take us higher. We ought to always be believing God to go. He takes us from strength to strength, glory to glory, and faith to faith. God's not ever finished with us yet. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, God's not finished with me yet. Hey, I want my wife to stand up. This is really what God's blessed me with. 44, 45, 46 years of marriage. I lose count, a whole bunch, but God has blessed me. We got two awesome kids that they're not kids anymore that have given us six grandchildren, and I'm telling you, those grandchildren are the greatest. I said I wasn't going to be one of those grandparents that are always bragging on their grandkids, but ours is the best, so I mean, I can't help it. Do it. So praise God. Everybody say, better habits, better life. If we want to have a better life, if we want to upgrade our life, if we want to improve our life, we've got to improve our habits. And so Pastor Chris has launched this series to start the year talking about habits last week, about putting God first. Have you been putting God first? That's a great habit. Going to be sharing other things that are important that can help, habits that can help you have a better life, to those upward habits that can take you upward to the hopes and the destinies that God has for you. To get where God wants to take you, you got to have good habits. You got to have better habits. I believe the Lord's given me a word for you today that will help you in developing those good habits. The word that I have is kind of a baseline. It's kind of an important ingredient that is key to any habit that we establish in our life. See, our habits, our life is a product of our habits. If you really take and assess, analyze, examine your life, you'll see that most everything we do in our life, what our life is all about, is a byproduct of what we do habitually. From the moment we get up in the morning, if you brush your teeth, what you eat for breakfast, how you get to work, you probably drive the same way to work every day. You probably came to church today the same way you came last week. Why? Because we are creatures of habit. We're not creatures of circumstances. We're creatures of habits. Our life is a product of our habits. Now, here's the thing. You're not born with habits. That's good news and that's bad news. Good news in that if you've got some habits that need to be changed, you can change them. Habits can be changed. Habits are developed. We're not born with them. They're developed, good or bad. So wherever you are in your life with your habits, the good news is we can change them if they're bad. Our habits, now watch this. Going to give you just kind of a little teaching moment here in order to set up what I want to share with you today. Life, our life is a product of our habits. Our habits are a product of what we believe. Whether your beliefs are right, good, or bad is immaterial as far as the fact that they establish habits. If they're bad beliefs, they're going to give you bad habits. If they're erroneous, untrue beliefs, they're going to give you erroneous, untrue habits. But regardless, whatever your core beliefs are, they develop your habits. Your beliefs, now watch this, your beliefs are a product of what you think. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And here's what the Bible says. This is a biblical principle I'm going to share with you today. And it comes from this verse right here. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks," or as a person thinks in his heart, "so is he." In other words, we are what we think. What you think, your thinking, develops what you believe. Everything you believe starts with what you think, the thoughts that you have. And those thoughts, as you begin to cultivate those thoughts, they begin to produce beliefs. Those beliefs become core to our life, and those core beliefs then begin to establish and develop habits in our life. And those habits then establish who and what we are. So what you think is what you are. As a person thinks, so is he. So today I want to talk about and give you three powerful steps to get right thinking. I want to talk to you today about developing the habit of right thinking. Turn to somebody and say, right thinking. There is a habit of right thinking. There's also a habit of wrong thinking. And let me just say right here, a lot of us, we have some wrong thinking that we've got to get rid of. We've got to change. We've got to get a habit of right thinking. So what is right thinking? How do we establish right thinking? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to give you three powerful steps to get you to be thinking right. Get that right thinking. To get rid of stinking thinking. And get right thinking. Because what you think is what you are. Those thoughts that you have develop the habits that you have. And so how do we get right thinking? What do you mean wrong thinking? What do you mean right thinking? How do we do that? Well, turn over to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Actually, I don't know if I want to go there yet. I'll get there in a moment. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody say 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can, if you're at Philippians 4, you can save it. I'm going to go there second. I'll go there in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 5, it says this. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." In other words, we're in a battle. We live in the world, but we're not fighting a worldly war. We're not fighting what we're going to be talking about. We're not fighting with machine guns, hand grenades, M16s. No, we have some spiritual weapons that we're going to have to fight the battle that God wants to help us with. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Say, captive. Right thinking, the habit of right thinking. How do we develop that habit? How do we get our thinking right? We've got to learn how to take captive our thoughts. How do we take our thoughts captive? Why do we need to take thoughts captive? Understand, thoughts are coming at us all the time. It's been said that an average person has over 10,000 thoughts come their way every day. Thoughts are coming at us from every kind of source. The world surrounds us with technology and billboards and radio and TV and all kinds of messages being sent that are thoughts coming our way. And then we have the devil. And the devil is bringing thoughts towards us. That's his That's his MO. That's his only real weapon, is to bring these thoughts our way. Now listen. It's not wrong for thoughts to come your way. You can't stop thoughts from coming. Thoughts are coming at us all, just like birds are flying over our air, over our heads all the time. You can't stop birds from flying over you. No, I mean, you can be sitting in a park and pigeons can be flying. Oh, you may not want those pigeons there, but they can be flying over you. But you definitely can stop those pigeons from making a nest in your head. Thoughts are flying over us all the time. But we have the ability, you have the power to be able to stop those thoughts from taking and making a nest in your mind. Take captive. We have these spiritual weapons that empower us by God's grace to be able to take thoughts captive. You don't have to. See, here's how thoughts work. First, you entertain thoughts. Then you focus on thoughts. And then you cultivate thoughts. God gave us the power to think. That's a blessing from God. But we need to focus that thinking on the things that will bring us to where God wants to take us. See, your thinking, your thoughts will either take you towards what God has for you or away from what God has for you. The uphill climb, those hopes, those destinies. See, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. It's a divine plan. Every one of you. I don't care where you're from, what you've been through, or what's going on in your life. God still has a plan for your life. It's a divine plan. It's a plan to prosper you. A plan for good, not to harm you. It's an amazing plan. It's the journey. It's the race that he's given you. And he wants to help you finish that race to get to that destiny. And it is often that uphill climb. It needs uphill habits. It needs good habits. To get there, you've got to have that right thinking. You got to have your thoughts right. He's given us that ability to think, imagination, to dream. I want to encourage you, dream big. You can't outdream God. God wants to do some incredible things in your life, in you and through you. And part of being able to accomplish those things is developing the right habit of thinking right. That habit of right thinking. So how do we have right thinking? Well, number one, we've got to learn how to take bad thoughts captive. Listen, you can't stop. What I mean by bad thoughts? I mean, there are a million of them. Bad thoughts are, you can't do it. You're no good. You're a failure. You messed up. Who do you think you are? All those are bad thoughts that come your way that say, you know, you've messed up. You're not worthy. Thoughts that come that are immoral thoughts. Wrong thoughts. All these type of thoughts try to bombard our minds and try to captivate us. We've got to learn how to take those thoughts captive. It's the word of God. God says, take. This isn't my idea. This isn't a psychology lesson. This isn't metaphysics. This is biblical truth. These are biblical principles that God's laid out. God brings us into this world for a purpose and a destiny, and he gives us a handbook to help us run our race, to live our life. You know, we as men sometimes, we think we can figure everything out ourselves. You know, in Christmas morning, you get all those packages that have to be put together, those different presents. And they always come with a nice book of instructions. We just put the instructions aside and we start putting the thing together. Try to figure out how to operate the computer on our own. And when we get all done, it doesn't quite look right. There's 20 pieces left because we didn't follow the instructions. Sometimes we live our life like God's given us a manual. Sometimes we just jump out there and try to do it on our own before we read the instructions. I'm giving you part of the instructions this morning on making sure our thinking is right. That we have that habit of right thinking. How do we do that? Number one, learn how to take bad thoughts captive. First of all, you got to know that is one of the keys to right thinking, is that there's thoughts that we have to take captive. Not every thought is a good thought. There are good thoughts coming. Those thoughts from God's word that says you are more than a conqueror. Those thoughts from God's word that says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Those good thoughts that come from the word of God that says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, those are all good. Those are the thoughts we need to focus on. These other thoughts, we've got to learn to take those things. See, our actions are always a product of it. Do you know a bank robber doesn't just wake up one morning and go rob a bank? No, he starts to, you know what? What if I robbed a bank? I might get a lot of money. What bank should I rob? How should I rob the bank? When should I rob? It's thinking. He takes that thought and he begins to focus on it. And then he begins to develop that. He begins to cultivate that. Anger is produced by thoughts. Jealousy, envy. All those things originate with the thinking. We have to know how to take those thoughts captive. Number one, take bad thoughts captive. How do you do that? Now go to Philippians chapter 2. And here's what it says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren and sister, whatever is true, whatever is, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Think on these things. So how do you take thoughts captive? How do we get the habit of right thinking? We've got to take bad thoughts captive. How do we do that? Think on good things. Watch this. You can't think on more than one thing at a time. You just can't. You can oscillate back. I mean, you can think 1 second here, 1 second here, but you can't think on two different things. Here's the instruction. Here's God saying, hey, here, guys, let me help you out on this. Number one, to understand who you are is what you think. This is how powerful thinking is. This is God speaking, and just speaking in clear, plain language. Listen up, guys. I got some news for you. I got some important things to tell you. Who you are is a result of what you think. Now, understand there's good things and there's bad things that can come in this thinking deal. And it's up to you to determine what you're going to think on. And I'm telling you, hey, don't think on bad things. That's the wrong direction. That's not the habit. I want you to have a habit of thinking on good things, a habit of right thinking, not wrong thinking. So take those bad thoughts captive. Don't dwell on those. Don't focus on those. Don't cultivate those. Well, what am I supposed to do? Think on these things. Things that are good. Things that are pure. Things that are right. Things that are praiseworthy. See, if all of a sudden your mind starts thinking on negative things, starts thinking on bad things, boom. No. I'm taking that thought cap. I'm thinking on this thing. So here's some homework. Look to somebody and say, homework. Homework. Yeah, you come to church and I'm giving you a homework. So it's not hard. But I want you to do this homework. And listen, it's going to be graded. I'm not going to grade it. God's going to grade it. How many of you think God sees everything? All right. He sees everything. He sees everything. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden? And they decided to eat the fruit? And they tried to hide from God? You ever read that story? They ate the fruit. Big trouble. Weren't supposed to eat the fruit. How many know they weren't supposed to eat the fruit? They ate the fruit anyway. And so they go and they try to hide from God. Yeah. You see me, right? Adam and Eve think they're hiding. God plays along with them, says, where are you? Like he didn't know where they were. Just turn to somebody and say, God sees everything. Everybody say, homework. Okay, here's the homework. I want you to go home and on a piece of paper, on your computer, on your notebook, on your phone, I want you to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I want you to write down 10 things that God, good things God has done for you. 10 good things in your life. How many of you think you could come up with 10 good things in your life? I mean, you might be in the most terrible spot in your life right at the moment. But I'm telling you, there's at least 10 good things God's done in your life. I mean, it could. How many of you are saved? That's, if you got to go, if that's where you got to start, start there. Oh, thank God I'm saved. Sometimes I've got to go there. You know, I'm hitting some of those obstacles that Pastor Chris was talking about that Monday morning, that Jericho wall. And I'm wondering, oh man, what did I miss God? What is going on? I got to go all the way back. No, God, you saved me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm saved. There's at least 10 good things in your life. I mean, there's some vacation you took with my wife. The Bible says when you find a wife, you find a, man, I'm writing that down. I found a good thing. That's a good thing to think on. There may have been a time God just delivered you out of a situation. Maybe he blessed you some way. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's just a great vacation that you had sometime where you were walking walking the beach. You can just arrive over here and you're on the beach all the time. Maybe it's going to the snow in the mountains or whatever. Write down, turn to someone and say, this is homework. You need to do this. Write down 10 great, now these have to be good things, pure things, praiseworthy things. Write those down, and then I want to challenge you to put those things to memory. If you have to write them down, put them on a card, put them in your pocket, put them on your phone to begin with, fine. Okay, why? What am I going to do? Because when those bad thoughts come, I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. I'm going to take those. How am I going to take those captive? I'm going to think on good. What do you mean good? I'm saved. I woke up this morning. I'm breathing. I got a great wife. I got a great family. Now you're saying, I don't have a great wife. Well, don't put that down then. Put something else down. You got to have 10. But here, listen, this is what I'm doing is I'm giving you a game plan. I'm giving you a strategy. See, too often we wander through life with no game plan. I don't know how many football fans. I mean, we're at the end of the NFL football season. We're down to 6 teams. We'll be down to 4 teams after today. There's 2 games today. Those 4 teams aren't walking on that field just whistling Dixie. Or maybe that's not the right. Twiddling their thumbs. They've been preparing. They got a game plan. They've been when the offense walks on the field, they know the plays they're going to run. When the defense comes out, they know the defensive plays they're going to try and counter the offense with. What I'm saying is we got to be prepared. So how simple can it get? Write down 10 good, lovely, praiseworthy things and then be ready. And when the enemy tries to come and bring one of those arrows of a negative thought, when something turns across your mind that's immoral, it's not godly, I'm not camping there. I mean, have you ever been down? I mean, you're living in Florida swampland. There's got to be mosquitoes and bugs. I mean, even in Tulsa, in certain part times of the year, you go outside and all of a sudden there's mosquitoes. You don't just sit there and let those things land and bite. There's some thoughts you got to just. Yeah, come on, somebody, just right now, go ahead, swat them. See, I'm reinforcing. You're going to think about it. This may look crazy. I may look silly, but you're not going to forget this. I'm swatting these flies. I'm getting rid of these gnats. I'm swatting these mosquitoes, those negative thoughts, those bad. And I am thinking on these things. God loves me. Just the way did you know that? God loves you. God is never going to love you any more than he does right now. He's never going to love you any less than he does right now. There is nothing, the Bible says, that can separate you from the love of God. Hey, that's pretty good. I think I'll think on that. God loves me. Yeah, I've made mistakes, but God loves me. He forgives me. See, think on these things. Take bad thoughts captive and then Focus your thinking on what's good, what's pure. Everybody with me? Third thing, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I got a question for you. Are you conformed or are you transformed? Just turn to the person next to you and just ask them, are you conformed or are you transformed? What's he mean? What are you talking about? The Greek word there is metamorphosis. Transformed, metamorphosis. It's like the caterpillar that is changed into a butterfly. That's a transformation. When we come out of the world, listen, before, how many of you are glad you're saved?
Amen.
If you're here today and that doesn't make sense to you, you don't know for sure, today's a great day for you to get saved. God wants you to step into his plan and his destiny. He's for you. He loves you just where you are. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change one eye. All you got to do is say, I believe in you, Lord. And the moment you do, what happens is a transformation begins to take place. We come into this world into this life of fallen Christ as caterpillars. And then we begin to be transformed. There's a butterfly in you. That transformation, watch this, that transformation happens by the renewing of your mind. Wow. We're right back to the thinking deal. God has to help us, and he will help us if we will cooperate and surrender to him to get our thinking in line with what his word said. How do you renew your mind? What's that mean? That word renew means change. Comes from the word repent. We talk about repent, repent, repent. You know what that word repent means? It means to change. Change your thinking. That's the word repent means to change your thinking. So when we come into the kingdom of God, we repent. What do we do? We change our thinking. No longer are we thinking like a heathen. We start thinking like a believer. We don't think there's not a God. Now we think and believe there's a God. We're changing our thinking. Now we're on a journey. We start this process of renewing our mind. Joshua 1:8 says that we're to meditate day and night on the Word of God. Because you see, we have, whether you realize it or not, I don't care where you are in your walk with the Lord, you still got some cobwebs in that brain up there. There's still some wrong thoughts, some wrong thinking, things that haven't, that just the way it is. We've been living our life up to wherever we are, influenced by the world, the schools that we go to, the things that we read, and our minds begin to develop thoughts and ideas that are contrary to the kingdom of God. Listen, the kingdom of God is different than the world we live in. It's totally different. In the kingdom of God, if you want to go up, you got to go down. If you want to get more, you got to give more. It's all backwards. You can't think things and reason things in the worldly concept to understand the things of God. That mind has to be renewed. Be transformed. Develop the habit of right thinking. Get rid of, take captive bad thoughts, focus the thinking on good things, and then continually be renewing your mind with the Word of God. Let me put it this way, and then I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes I don't think we fully understand what we have. This is the Word of God. People say, oh, I wish God would speak to me. I wish God would talk to me. And I say, well, have you ever read his word? That is God talking to you. And as he talks to you and you listen, your mind is being renewed. Your thinking then is being transformed. And now all of a sudden, decisions and the things you do in life begin to line up with what God's word says, because your thinking lines up with God's word. So no longer do I think, oh man, I can't do this. I can't. No, you stop. I can do this. I can do this. No longer you say, I don't know where to go. I don't know. Wait a minute. My steps are ordered of the Lord. See, this becomes your compass. This becomes your engine. This takes you up the hill. This takes you over the mountain. This takes you through the valley. This takes you through the fog. This is your instrument panel. I was in the Air Force. Had some friends that were pilots. They talked about their training. They had to be instrument rated. And in their training, they would put a hood over them. Maybe some of you have been in that type of training. So they couldn't see anything but the instruments. And so in their training, they would be taken out over the Gulf of Mexico. And they would have to fly that plane without looking and seeing anything. They had to depend totally on the instrument panel. And they would tell me it was such a difficult deal, because sometimes it would feel like they were going down. Sometimes it felt like they were going to the right. Sometimes it felt like it was going to the left. But the instruments were saying they were going straight. Or the instrument, it felt like they were going straight, but the instrument said they were going down. They had to make a decision whether or not to trust the instrument or trust their feeling. If they trust their feeling, they were going to crash that plane. That training got them, their minds totally renewed to where they trusted fully what that instrument passed. Their life depended on it. Their friend's life depended upon it. Their other pilots. What am I saying? When you get your thinking right, you're fully trusting him, you're going to depend on what the instrument panel says. You may feel like you're going down. You may feel like giving up. You may feel like nothing's working out. But my mind is saying, according to the word of God, I'm overcoming. I'm going through. I'm going over. I'm a champion. I'm a victor. He is always causing me to triumph. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here this morning and that you may be dealing with some bad thoughts. Some of you may be involved in things that you know you shouldn't be, because your thoughts have taken you a wrong direction. Some of you feel guilty. Some of you feel ashamed because of the thoughts that the enemy is filling your mind with. And you need to get rid of those thoughts. You need to take those thoughts captive. Some of you need to get your mind renewed where you're lining up with what God's word says. And this morning, the Lord is just speaking to you. And you're saying, you know what? That's making sense. I don't quite understand everything he said, but I understand. I've got to get my thinking right. I got to get rid of some of this wrong thinking, some of this stinking thinking. And I've got to start renewing my mind with the word of God and start thinking right. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, that's me. There are some thoughts that aren't right in my life. There are some things I need to change in my thinking. Would you pray for me? Would you help me? I want to pray for you, and I want to ask God to help you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the first step you got to do is you got to recognize that, and you just got to raise up your hand and say, as you raise your hand, you're just saying, Lord, I need your help. I need to get my mind renewed. I need to take some of these thoughts captive. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Say, that's me. Yeah, right here, right here. Yeah, all across the room. Yeah, you're lifting your hand to the Lord. You're just saying, you know what? I've got to get my mind. The power of the mind is unbelievable when it's linked up, yoked up with God. Father, I pray for every one of these.